So today we're going to do bat mitzvah. What is bat mitzvah? Should there be such a thing as a bat mitzvah celebration? So Rena pointed out today that the Mother Goose and Grimm cartoon from today's comics had, I guess this is Dracula, is it, Ernst? And he goes, why did we get invited to so many bat mitzvahs? I didn't get it until Rena explained it to me.
Oh,
I didn't
really?
Get it. Okay. Anybody get it? You get it?
Yes.
Go ahead for it, Harry. Bat mitzvahs. I'm sorry. No, they're not making fun of your religion. If they could, if they wanted to, they would. So first thing we have to understand is what is this whole thing of bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah? Where did we get this idea of coming of age in general? And then the next issue is, how does it relate, and how does halacha relate to the idea of celebrating coming of age? And then, once we celebrate, if we're going to celebrate coming of age, should we celebrate for boys? Should we celebrate for girls? And what are the halachic permutations, ramifications, specifications, clarifications, and insinuations thereof? Okay? So we begin to understand, first of all, just see the halacha. How do we know that there is such a thing as an age coming of age? So everybody knows, you know, commonly, when does a young Jewish male become an adult?
13.
Well, 13 in one day. When does a Jewish female become an adult?
12.
Why?
Since she wants to cook?
Well, girls mature faster than boys.
Well, I mean, that, by the way, everyone points out the chauvinism in halacha. They always love to point it out. What about that? What the heck? You know, girls mature faster than boys. What?
Male-oriented.
If it was male-oriented, wouldn't the boys be adult first? Yeah, I guess so. So it's a bias. It's a female bias. I'm going to say the religion is biased in favor of females. That's my personal opinion. Well, actually, I really think that's true. But okay, says the Mishnah. We're going to just do through the sources to understand. Okay? Says the Mishnah in Nida, Gemara Nida. Bash, achad esei shana v'yom echad. Okay, if a girl is 11 years old in one day, nidareha nidvakin. Okay, her nidarim, her oaths, stick to her. Meaning they have possibility of retaining to her and they have to be accepted. But, bash, shteim esei shana v'yom echad. If a girl is 12 years and one day, nidareha kayamin. Okay? And then her oaths are kayamin. She's an adult, and they are accepted. They exist. Right. They're full. Their status is an accepted oath. Ubotkin kol shtei mesei. Okay. Ubotkin kol shtei mesei. Ben, a man, a boy. Shtei mesei shan of yom echad. If he's 12, again, nidareha nidvakin bo. 12 years and one day, so he is almost an adult. Okay? And ben yud gimel shana v'yom echad, again, the 13-year-old in one day, it's not 13, it's 13 and a day, because remember, on your 13th birthday,
you're a day more than a year.
Right. So you're into the next year.
So
then, midarav kayamin. Again, so what is an oath? An oath says, let's say a person says, I take an oath to God, theoretically, that I am never going to drink Diet Pepsi again. Okay? So it used to be that Diet Pepsi was kosher for you, and now Diet Pepsi is absolutely, you can't eat it. You took a neder, and you have to go to a chacham, or a beit din, a court, to get out of your oath. But this is only happens if you are considered an adult enough to take upon yourself these commandments. But if you don't take it upon yourself, no, if you're not an adult, if you don't have knowledge, if you're not a bar das, then the oath doesn't count. Okay, so what is the age of adulthood? 12 for a girl, and 13 for a boy. Skip to where it says Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, says the rabbis. Elu divrei Rebbe. Okay, this is the words of Rebbe. Skip to the next line. We're going to just skip a little bit because the next part is just a bit of a digression. Amar Rav Chizda, the end of that second to last line. Amar Rav Chizda, see where it says that? Amar Rav Chizda, my time is Rebbe. Why does Rebbe say 12 and 13? Which is the norm of halacha. Dichtiv vayiven Hashem Elohim et Hatzela. Remember we said God, how was woman created? Where did we get woman from? Adam's ribs, right? He took a rib from Adam, but the language that the Torah uses is vayiven. Vayiven means he built. A very interesting language. It says, Rab, Milame, it teaches us Shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bina Yetera Bi'isha Yoter Mibi'ish. Yeah, the word Vayiven is an allusion to Bina. What is Bina?
Wisdom,
knowledge, that a woman has greater knowledge, Bina, than a man. Okay, and by the way, it doesn't talk about just age. It's interesting, we normally think, what is Bina Yetera? Bina Yetera refers to some kind of additional insight, additional
intuition.
But here, what?
Common sense.
You think your wife has more common sense than you? Don't answer that. We all know what the answer is. Okay? So here, the Gemara uses a Bina in the context of emotional maturity. The ability to understand the implications of things. The ability for us to know that you have a certain sense of knowledge about the oath that you're going to take. This girl of 12, she's old enough to understand and comprehend the ramifications of what she takes upon herself, and she's considered an adult for that purpose. Okay? What? Yes?
The other word you want is insight.
Yes.
Insight?
Bina Yetera, additional insight. Yeah, but normally we consider it to be, we say, Atah Chonein L'Adam Da'at, right? Chaneinu Mi'itcha, we say to God every day that God gives us Da'at, knowledge, but then we say Deya, which is under knowledge, Bina, understanding, the haskel, sechel, and the ability to intuit, I would guess, intuition. So Bina is more than just knowing things, it's the ability to take it to the next level and to understand what are the implications of my doing or knowing such a thing. What are the implications of my taking an oath? Okay? Next source, Rambam in the Mishnah of Sanhedrin. So the Rambam is also, he talks about capital punishment. So when is a child considered an adult for capital punishment? That if a child should, let's say, murder someone. So in America, it's... what is the age in America?
18? It depends.
Lisa?
18, but in some circumstances you can try somebody as an adult.
Right, it's fungible. Right, in America, it's 18 unless they decide that it's not. In which case, it's lower. What's the absolute minimum?
14.
That you've ever heard of. Lisa, but anybody know what Lisa does?
14.
Lisa works in the public defender's office?
No, I...
Social services?
No, I work for a nonprofit called the Michigan Children's Law Center. I represent kids who've been abused and neglected or who now have committed crimes.
See, so and that's why I'm asking Lisa, what's the oldest, youngest you've ever heard of?
There's someone at 14 in time.
Abram.
14, interesting. So, says the Torah, the age is 13. It's an absolute age. How do we know? So he says, Gan Esko, I'm going to just tell you, inyanim, ideas, concepts, Shalonit baru b'mishnah, things that aren't explained in the Mishnah. V'hashlim hakavanah kula, to explain everything. V'omer mitchila, and I'll say first, shekol ma shani omer b'makom zeh, everything I'm talking about here is bishvil ish gadol, an adult, ish gadol, an adult male. Ritzoni lomar, what I mean by this is, and just the concept that the Sanhedrin, the Masechta Sanhedrin, this chapter, the seventh chapter, talks about capital punishment. And the instances of capital. So what does it mean? Shehiye ben shalosh esrei v'yom echad, right? That he should be of 13 years old in one day. Shehirish tei sarot, who also has grown two sarot, two hairs, and it's not referring to facial hair. Okay, which no, that means there's not only age, but our child has to show physical maturity. So just so you know, how do we know when we let the kid be a bar mitzvah? We have a chazaka. We don't really need to check unless there's a reason not to. So I would just suggest, by the way, that if a 13-year-old committed a capital crime, the very first thing the rabbis would do is check to see if he's physically an adult. Because if he's not, he's off the hook. He's a minor. The rabbis would bend over backwards to try to get somebody off the hook for capital punishment. Okay? Shezehu ha-gadol ha-shalem etzel ha-torah. Full adult is 13 years old. Ukemokin, similarly, bat yud bet shana v'yom echad. 12 and one day. Similarly, two hairs. Anu Karim Ota Gedola. We also call her an adult. Anyone who is less than this age, and they're not of physical maturity. Anu Karim Otam Katan Ukitana. Right? They are considered a child. There's no in between. You're either a child or you're an adult. By the way, America, Western society does not subscribe to that. There's a middle age, an adolescence. Right? In Judaism, you're a child, and then you're an adult. Yesterday, you did not count for a minion, Yesterday you could not daven for the Amud. Yesterday you could not take an aliyah for the Torah. And today you can. But along with that privilege, we say, with great privilege, responsibility. Yesterday you did not have to put on tefillin. Yesterday you did not have to daven with a minyan. Today you must. Right? And so therefore, by the way, so then what is considered, what is halakhically, what we consider adolescence, when a child is supposed to learn how to do what he's supposed to do?
Wouldn't you say between 11 and 1 day to 12 one day for a group?
Good.
And 12 1 day to 13.
Excellent. Days. Give me a good example where we apply that. Very good.
Fasting.
Excellent. Fasting. Right. There are things that you have to know. In fact, there are some opinions that say you're supposed to wear tefillin the whole year before, not just a month before.
3 months.
Yeah, actually, 3 months. Right. Because, again, the idea is to learn how to do something, to practice, because that's part of chinuch, to learn when you're a minor, you're not obligated, and then to learn that you have to do something when you are obligated. So 13 years old is an official adult for Judaism, for Jewish purposes. Capital punishment, everything. Minyan, mitzvos, everything. You're an adult, you're not a child. An adult can make decisions, an adult can get married. You know, and it is interesting to note that halacha corresponds generally with physical maturity. Right? And the rabbis back then, remember we talked about what age would they get married in? Young. Why?
They were considered young.
They were an adult. They die younger too, but they were considered adults. Now, what makes more sense? Does it make more sense to allow children to, or I wouldn't say, make more sense, but what would seem more biologically appropriate? To marry children when they're in their parents' home and then continue to get them settled on their feet until they're set enough in order to start their own home, but to allow them within the confines of Judaism to express their physical urges, or, like we do today, to tell children, sure, you've matured physically, but you're not allowed to do this or that or that or that or that, and that's terrible, and this terrible, and that's terrible, and even though you have these urges, you have to suppress them. Right, Mrs. Lewis? Yeah, it's very hard. You have to realize that the challenges that our society, that are inherent in our society, of asking children, not children, physically mature young children to control. And sometimes it seems unrealistic, unreasonable. I mean, halakha asks it and demands it, but it's very, very challenging. As opposed to if they got married, all right, they're married. This is part of the natural state of things.
But sometimes children are very precocious. Isn't that word?
You wouldn't call a 13-year-old precocious, right? That's not the word that you would use to address a 13-year-old. You would call a 13-year-old mischievous. I don't know. You know, something that's precocious at 8 isn't so funny anymore at 12 or 13. Okay. Third example from the Shulchan Aruch, number source number 3 on the bottom of page 1. This is from Hakatani Matayat Chilulit Bitanot. Right? When does a child have to fast? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Hatino Kol Mutarim B'chol Elu. Remember all the rules of Yom Kippur? You have to fast, you can't eat, you can't watch, you can't blah, blah, blah. So children are exempt from all those rules. Chut min ilat sanda. Except for the shoe thing. Right? Children aren't supposed to wear, that's why our kids wear sneakers too. Even the ones that are fasting, that are not fasting, they wear sneakers. Why? Shein choshin kol kach im lo yinalu. It's not a big deal for children if they don't wear shoes. Bet. Skip to bet. Katan habari. A healthy child, ben teisha shanim shleimot, uben eser shanim shleimot, 8 or 9, 10 or 9 or 10 years old, mechanchin otam l'sha'ot. You're already teaching them sha'ot, fast for a few hours. Ketzad, what does that mean? Hayar la'agil la'achol b'shtei sha'ot v'yom, machil otam b'shalosh. A 9 or 10 year old normally eats at 2, so on Yom Kippur you feed him, what time?
3 o'clock.
So how do we translate that today? Today, I'll translate, if it's a fast day for my children, I'll say, you know, today's a fast day, we're going to have lunch, we're not going to have a snack. The children should be sensitive to the fact that even though they're not adults and they're eating, nonetheless, there's something different about them. They should be sensitive that it's a fast day. Okay? And again, normally it's a 3, even if we feed them a 4. L'fi koach haben, moshiv ben la'anot oto b'sha'ot. As the child gets older or stronger, you add on. So, and by the way, I think that children of that age, 9 and 10, should not fast the whole day. Halacha, you know, they should not fast. Sometimes children, in their zeal to become frum, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I want to do it. That's not their time. Their job is to build up as they get older, to the point where when they're of age, then they're ready. Okay? Ben 11, But once you're 11, Bein Zachar Ubein Nekeva, whether male or female, Mit'aninu Mashlimi Midivrei Sofen Kidei Lechanchan B'Mitzvah. Once they're 11, then whether male or female, then they have to fast the whole thing in order to educate them. Okay, the Ramah says it's not the Rabbanon, etc., etc. Skip the three lines in the bottom. Bat Shteim Esei B'Yom Echad. This is Shulchan Aruch. 12 in one day. A girl, Uben Shlosh Esei B'Yom Echad, or a boy, Shevi Shtei Saros. Harehem Gedolim L'chol Mitzvot. They are adults for every mitzvah. U'mashlimi Min HaTorah. Right? And you should, and they must fast Min HaTorah, from the Torah on Yom Kippur. Avali Noiv Yishtei Saros, but if they have not matured physically, then Adayin Ketanim Heim, they are children, Ve'ema Mashlimim Elim Yivir Sefer. Then it's a Durabana. So again, we don't really investigate, we don't evaluate these things, unless there is a compelling reason to. We normally assume that once a child has reached the age of 13, they are an adult for all purposes, and they can be the davening, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So we see that there's this idea of coming of age. You've already heard of the Mishnah, just page number 2, of Avos, right? Who Ayah Omer, he would say, Ben Chamesh Shanim the Mikra, 5 years for, you should read Torah, Esra Shanim the Mishnah, at 10 you should be reading Mishnah, Shlosh Esra the Mitzvah, right? 13 years old, that's when a person is Mitzvah. And then it goes on, when do you get married? By the Mitzvah time? 18. By 18, it means by 18, you should be married. Okay? And you should even get your kid. 20, you're chasing after money, or success, or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we see from numerous sources something you already knew, but it's always good to see in the sources, that 12 for a girl, 13 for a boy, is an adult. Whoever said that's cause for celebration? Where in the Torah do we see that there's anything to celebrate at a bar mitzvah?
Well, the Abba says bubbles.
What?
The Abba is happy.
Yeah. Why?
Responsible.
Right, so the father should throw a party to get his off the hook. That's what the bar mitzvah is about.
And to get a pin.
And to get it right. They used to say, today I am a Valentine. Right. You know what? I enjoyed my bar mitzvah all the same. Our society would be much better off if our bar mitzvahs were much closer to today I'm a fountain pen than today I've got my Xbox, Game Boy, Palm Pilot, Full Shots, etc., etc., etc. What? Halavai, they should get that, but it's very nice. But somebody show me a source. Where is there a source?
Today I'm building my bank account for my first car.
Yeah, good luck.
Right,
so, thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate that. I really do. So it really comes from a Gemara on a totally separate issue. And by the way, we celebrate a lot of things. You know, we make everything into a milestone. If you've noticed, so we celebrate birthdays. There's no record that historically people ever celebrated birthdays, or much less knew what day they were born. Most people. What?
My mother was born the second day of Hanukkah.
Your mother was born the second day of Hanukkah.
So when she arrived in America, they said, "Well, your birthday is just Christmas."
That's what she said. And that's exactly my point. You make the point so well. Most people, it didn't matter. When are you born? Who cares?
Well, for this person, you have to know.
Oh, you have to know for 13 years old. You have to know 13 in a day.
You would know for the nearest holiday. Oh, a month before Purim.
Yeah,
that's the way it was worked out. Like the second.
You were born Purim time.
My father always says, it was very noisy at his birthday.
Interesting. I guess you're right. They had to know. But this idea of celebrating birthdays, I'm quite certain it was unheard of. Unheard of. They have a party to celebrate the, you know what I'm saying? Where, by the way, where is the first mention of a birthday in the Torah? Little trivia.
Gracious.
Where in Gracious? Good.
Sorry.
No.
I don't.
It says, by the way, it does say that Abraham Avinu, by Hibe Yom he gamal et Yitzchak Beno, when Yitzchak was weaned, he made a great party for all, you know, for all the people. But where do we see that first idea of a birthday? Anyone? Bueller? No? No one? Paro had a birthday party. Remember the king of Egypt? What happened on his birthday? What did he do on his birthday to celebrate?
Jumped off the hill.
He chopped off the head of the baker. Right? He would judge on Paro's birthday, the day he was born, he judged everyone in the kingdom. Anybody who had a judgment, he was judged. I mean, Yosef wasn't judged, but that's that was Paro's birthday celebration. Happy birthday! Okay, very good. So this idea of, you know, celebrating.
But you do have, you know, throughout the Torah, references to, you know, Abraham was this age when this happened, or Abraham was this age when he died. So you have reference
to their ages, to their
ages, to time passing and ages.
I don't know. I happen to think that most people had no idea how old they were in general. You know what I'm saying? Because
you mean who, specifically?
Yeah, specifically.
They
had an idea, but there was no way. I mean, even remember there was a couple of years ago, it was this kid who came from Puerto Rico, and it was unclear how old he was when he played in the Little League World Series. Right, and they claimed, and I think to a large degree, they had no idea. You know, it was his birth certificate or his blood. I mean, Jews, even in Europe, they routinely, in order to get out of the army, they would just assume the identity of somebody else. How old are you? 18, 20, 19, 14? Who cares?
Rabbi, the thing was, the woman comes to the rabbi and asks him a question, and she gave birth.
Yeah.
So she asked him a question. She asked, "Should I put my son in that he was born 2 years ago? So therefore, when he becomes 16, he has to go into the army. Or should I put in that he's going to be born 2 years from now? So when he's 20, he's going to be married, and then they're going to take him in the army."
It's not a joke. This is serious. My family name, my mother's family name was Friedman. But it's very clear, everyone knows in the family, that their name is not Friedman. Their name is Heller. Because we come from the Tosfos Yom Tov, Rabbi Yochanan Lipman Heller. So how do we get Friedman? Because at some point, Friedman died. And what they would do is, if a child died, they would assume the name of the dead child so that you would get out of the conscription in the army, because each family was allowed a certain amount of exemptions, one exemption, or you would assume the name of a child known dead, so now you're dead Friedman. Friedman is dead, okay, so there's no record of you, you don't have to go to the army. This is a very regular thing. And people would not, you know, so what's your real name? You know where you were born, you know who your parents were. You know, and if it was like that in Europe when they actually started keeping records, you could imagine, go back a little more, when most people didn't know how to read or write. What day were you born? So you say, Parshas Vayigash, you know, you're 13. You know what I'm saying? It was a Sunday before Vayigash. You probably would know the Parsha, and they might know, like you said, what Purim time. Right.
If you're a Yeki, they made you a bimbo.
Right. And it's interesting how we create these passage of time, these things of passage of time. I once had a woman, you know, one of the big things now is upshurin.
Yeah.
Right, you know, you made, so I was once in Connecticut, and there was a woman who was not religious at all. I mean, she barely lit Shabbos candles, and she was growing her child's hair for an upshurin. So I was a little perplexed. I said, you know, I mean, of all the things you're going to choose to do, why'd you choose that? She said because she sees it as a rite of passage, as a milestone for her child that perhaps, you know, he'll remember or they'll know when he's three. Yeah, maybe, not too, I don't know. So where do we see that there's a milestone to celebrate? Okay, you became an adult today, a milestone. How many people today celebrate when they become 18?
Uh-huh.
They can vote. How many people? Now, all college kids celebrate when they become 21.
Right.
In our day, it was 18. That's when
18.
You start.
Right.
That's when you got your card.
How many people celebrate when they get their draft card? You celebrate? No, you can drink.
No.
Nowadays, nobody celebrates when they're 18. This is interesting. It is very interesting. Maybe because voting is not really meaningful to anyone anymore. So why should we celebrate when you're 13? Where do you ever see such a thing? There is no source for bar mitzvah in the Gemara, for a bar mitzvah celebration. I mean, there's a source for, like I showed you all the sources, that when you're 13, you're an adult. But there is no reference whatsoever to celebrating it at all. Where the first references come a little later. The only allusion comes from the following Gemara, the bottom of page 2. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef what says? Okay, Meresh originally Hava Amina Kamanda Amar Halacha to Rabbi Yehuda de Amar Suma Pata Min HaMitzvah. Okay, originally Rabbi Yosef was blind. So the question is someone who's blind chayav in mitzvahs, obligated to do mitzvahs, or is it only a chiyubi de Rabbanan, a rabbinic rule? So he says, I used to think that the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, who says I'm exempt from mitzvahs. So therefore, Ka'avdina yomatava l'rabanan. Right? But then I wanted to make a yomatava l'rabanan. See what the phrase is? A yom tov l'rabanan. What's a yom tov l'rabanan?
A
celebration, a party for the rabbis. My time, delo mafkidna v'ka'avidna. Right? Because I wasn't commanded and I was doing mitzvahs. The Hashta now the Samit Lahad Rav Yochanan Rav Chanin Rav Chanina Gadol Hamitzuvah VeOseh Mimiz Sha'ena Mitzuvah VeOseh. It's better to be commanded than not be commanded. Man Da Amali Ein Alacha Kerav Yehuda Avina Yom Etava LeRabbanan. Whoever tells me that the Alacha is not like Rav Yehuda, that I am commanded to do mitzvos, I'll make a party for him. Meaning what? It's something when a person realizes, he says, before I thought I didn't have to do mitzvah from the Torah because I was blind. And now you tell me, no, did we follow the opinion that says you do have to do mitzvahs? So therefore, what do I want to do? Make a party. So therefore, my time of the chimafkidna ishli agra tfei. Since I'm commanded, I have greater reward. So therefore, since Rabbi Yosef said, I want to make a party when I find out that I'm chayav to do mitzvahs, so therefore, now we learn that when from there we derive, and when a child comes of age
to do the mitzvahs,
he's also entitled to have a party. Celebrate! Hooray! Very nice. Now, by the way, I don't want to denigrate that. It's very nice to make a party and celebrate that. It's important to celebrate her children that kind of milestone. But just note, what did the Gemara not say? The Gemara never said, when I became bar mitzvah, I made a party. When I really, you know, clearly Rav Yosef, when he became bar mitzvah, and what happened that day?
Not much.
Right. And?
Sat down and
they drank schnapps and herring. Right, like every bar mitzvah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. You had a bar, you got an aliyah, and if you were lucky, they made a l'chaim afterwards.
And they did that in Winnipeg also.
What?
In Winnipeg, they also did that.
Yes, your bar mitzvah?
My bar mitzvah, my father brought a bottle of schnapps,
right.
Canadian club, and two pounds of kichel.
Now we celebrate more than that. We celebrate if someone's sister's mother's brother had a yard site 2 days ago. That's, we have more than that at the Canadian
we
club.
Have more than that on the ticket.
Yeah, on the ticket. You know, so is it Aliyah Sadoras or Yerida Sadoras?
My brother just went back to the house and had cookies.
Right, nothing. It wasn't a big deal. Says the Yamsha Shlomo. Yamsha Shlomo is Rav Shlomo. I don't remember what his name is anymore. Now you're jumping about 500 years, at least 500 years after the Gemara. It's 1500 years. Okay, he says Seudas Bar Mitzvah Sheosim HaAshkenazim. I'm on two, in the middle of two, and this doesn't have vowels in it. It's okay. This Seuda the Bar Mitzvah that the Ashkenazim make. So what do you immediately know? You immediately know who doesn't make Bar Mitzvah. Sodom don't do it. They didn't do it. Right, you know why they do it now? Because we do it. L'chora ein lecha se'udas mitzvah gedol v'nizo. Ah, there's no greater celebration. Right? U'shma mochiach aleha. Its name is an indication about it. Osim simcha. Right? You make, so what's a bar mitzvah? You make joy. V'nosnim shabach v'haydaya la'makom. And you give praise to God. Shezacha hanar liyos bar mitzvah. Right? That God has allowed him to become the age of bar mitzvah. The gadol ha-mitzuvah va-oseh. And a person who is commanded to commit mitzvos is greater than someone who is not. So 13 years in one day is better than 13. Because now you are obligated. It's a big chus. It's a big merit.
It was also a big deal to survive childhood.
Then? Absolutely. The rai, the avzacha shigilo ad alta lachniso bibishatara b'klala. And the father narrated and he raised him to this point. Raya me rab yosef sha'amar abina yom matava l'rabana. And the proof for this is, the proof that I just showed you from the Talmud, that you make a Yom Tov to the rabbis. Afa pishakra ayachayav. Right? And even though beforehand he was obligated, v'ala besura, and he found out, shalo ayanodolo ad achshav, rakalos is Yom Tov. Just when he found out that he was obligated, so he wanted to make a Yom Tov. Kol shekein shermi al hagas ha'et shirayu lasaf Yom Tov. If you arrive to that age, you should certainly make a Yom Tov. Okay? Ulam, v'ad me'acha shalo nasa bizmano, Lama lechashev sudas mitzvah. Is it a sudas mitzvah if you have a bar mitzvah? Well, what's the relevance of a sudas mitzvah? A lot of halachic relevance. First of all, for a person who's an abeilus, then they attend. Right? It depends on the situation. Is it a sudas mitzvah? Is it not? Is it milah mitzvah? They call makam. Yeah, I think she'im mechanchin eshana lidrosh ala seuda mein hamaora lo gar mizudas chinuch chabayis. He says if the bar mitzvah boy gives a dvar Torah on the day of his bar mitzvah, then if you consider it a sudas mitzvah. So now you're starting to see the formation of the bar mitzvah in its true form. It should be on bar mitzvah day. If possible, you have a celebration, you give thanks to God, and the bar mitzvah boy should give some Torah. Should teach some Torah. That is the ideal bar mitzvah. What is not the ideal bar mitzvah?
More bar than mitzvah.
Anything with the word theme associated with it. You know. And I must say, I thank God that in our community, we are, especially in Detroit, thank God, and should continue this way, relatively immune from this this malady that you know, of over-celebration. You know, in general, the bar mitzvahs that we, the Orthodox community, that we've attended, there's certainly a sense of grounding. Most of the bar mitzvahs are on Shabbos, and even if it's not on Shabbos, okay, it's a relatively straightforward celebration. And anything more than that is just is a total misunderstanding of what a bar mitzvah is supposed to be. Because, I mean, you say more bar than mitzvah, but if the bar mitzvah is anything but celebrating and inculcating into this young man that he is supposed to now understand that he is an adult and his level of responsibility, once it goes beyond that, then you're misunderstanding what the bar mitzvah is really supposed to be all about.
I like the fact that, well, yeah, it has a benefit. All these kids have to have a bar mitzvah assignment for the bar mitzvah. That's wonderful.
Where? Well, you mean that our kids don't really do it?
No,
not really.
That's before the
theory. Why do they do that? They have a mitzvah project. You know why?
Because it's all they'll do.
Because if there wasn't a mitzvah, if they did not obligate to do a mitzvah project, there would be no Judaism whatsoever.
There would be no meaning to it at all.
Okay. So now we turn to the next question, which is the question of bat mitzvah. So on whatever level, boys would celebrate bar mitzvah, on whatever level. And obviously, the more westernized, I mean, we were talking now, the more westernized you got, the more opulent and the more celebratory the event became. And the less westernized you were, the more it was, less it was. It wasn't a big deal. I mean, Eddie, what was the most opulent bar mitzvah you can remember when you were a kid? The most fancy bar mitzvah you remember when you were a kid?
We had a luncheon. No,
was there anybody had a lunch or a meal?
No. Well, I mean, my family. The luncheon I remember
is
when we first came
over. On Shabbos,
had
a thing?
Yeah.
For who?
Yeah, for the bar mitzvah.
For the
after he had
the family got together.
Yeah, then what?
That's it.
Then was there a meal?
Yeah.
For the whole school?
No.
Right.
Back to the
child's home. Right. That's exactly my point. So even like the bar mitzvah that we're talking about, celebrating bar mitzvah, right, very nice, the family and whatever. I mean, make a kiddush, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but it wasn't like this whole celebration. So when did the issue of bat mitzvah come about, of celebrating bat mitzvah?
Not that long ago.
Relatively recently. And the response really are, I mean, now we're going to go in, when we go into bat mitzvah, we're going to go into tshuvos, okay? The response really are of relatively recent vintage. I mean, I have to find my right sources. Okay? So the first response that really discusses the issue was written by, in White Russia, a man named Rabbi Aaron Walkin. Right? He wrote a Tshuva Rashut called Zikan Aharon. He was born in 1865 in White Russia. He learned in Valazin, the famous Valazin Yeshiva of the Nitziv. He got a letter from a bunch of rabbis in London. You know, and so you have this like huge culture clash of White Russia and London. And the rabbi sent him a question saying, there are these families, they want to celebrate bat mitzvah. So if he was born in 1865, you're talking about the tshuva was probably written in, his tshuvas were published in 1932. So, you know, 20s and 30s. So we know what's going on in the 1920s and the 1930s with women's liberation, emancipation, suffrage, all of these issues are at the fore in London, not in White Russia. So one of the issues that came up is, we want to celebrate bat mitzvah. The question is, what is the motivation? What motivated them to want to celebrate bat mitzvah? The answer is?
Women's equality.
Nope.
To do something for the girls.
Nope.
Equivalent.
Well, most girls in their 20s and 30s.
As far as, you know, mitzvah.
Nope.
I don't know. All I know is when I mentioned to my father...
What's happening to Judaism?
I'm very angry.
What happened?
My father got very angry when he thought of a bat mitzvah. And he was about as reform as you can get. And yet when I mentioned, gee, it might be nice to have a party, I'm getting to be 12, he got very angry. No such thing.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's bat mitzvah in London.
Yeah.
And you had a celebration.
How old are you? 12? Yeah. At 12? Okay.
Yeah. But we did have a big party.
Oh, we're going to, yeah. A lot of things happened between 1920 and, you know, 1975 when you were bar mitzvah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we're going to...
And by the way, it was orthodox.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to, let me develop that. I'm going to show you.
What
was happening to Judaism in 1910, 1920 in Europe?
Reform.
Right. Right. Judaism was just falling by the wayside in Western Europe especially. There's the reform, there's this onslaught. Remember that in the outside world, there's this idea of cultural enlightenment and sophistication. Orthodox is backward. Reform is considered new age, right? Adapting to the times. And there is this incredible battle. I mean, you're talking about incredible battle between the reform and the Orthodox. And Orthodoxy, we feel the pressure. We feel the pressure. I mean, think about as it goes along, at its peak, this peaked in America really in the 1950s and early 1960s.
But in Germany, I'm reading Rabbi Hirsch's biography.
Right.
And it was...
Right around then.
The 1830s.
1830s?
40s, yeah, in Germany.
When did Rabbi Hirsch live?
That's when he lived.
Okay. 1830s?
Yeah.
Well, 10 years later than that. All right. So, and this is the background under which. So, imagine if somebody today were to ask a shayla. I mean, what possibly could you ask a shayla that the reform do that we want to do? I don't know anymore. I mean, God forbid. You know, I have no idea. We're not going to go there. Okay. So he says the ha'achron, the final question. They first asked him, we would like to have an organ in shul. And so people weren't so he wasn't so aye about that. You can imagine. They asked, what about women singing in shul? Okay? But by the way, the organ they wanted in shul was to have a chuppah. Right? Can you play an organ in shul for a chuppah? And then the final question is, what about bar mitzvahs? What about chagigah? I'm on page 3 now. Chagigat bagrut l'na'arot. Celebrating adulthood for girls. Okay? Chagigat bagrut l'na'arot. What do we call that? What's that called in America? No, it's not called a bar mitzvah. Celebrating adulthood for girls is called a... In America?
Sweet 16?
Confirmation. It's called a confirmation.
That's what I said.
You said that?
Yes, I said.
Yeah. Acharon HaKabir, B'mashimotim, save the best for last. B'mashimotim l'hakil kilot anashim and anashim. Want to get men and women together, b'chorim l'kilot, boys and girls, l'chug chagigat habagrut l'na'arev, to celebrate girls coming of age. L'vashikol tameha preachus, v'hatiyuv should be out today. Aside from the preachus that's going to happen to these things, idnu gam bazeh, that they're there, o tame isure di oraika ika bazeh. So, you know, basically, what has he already said? Torah, don't even think about it. Torah prohibitions. Acharei says, listen, sebevandai kol ha'osekein, anyone who wants to do such a thing, kavanato lihit damot la'akum. The reason you want to do it is because you want to be like the non-Jews. Ulerashe Yisrael be reformer. Because why would you want to have a bat mitzvah? Who would? Well, because you want to be like the reform. And he says, Ukvar hisharnu al zeh be shiva lo tasei v'shnei mitzvos asei shelo lelech bechukoseihem. There's a big commandment, ubechukoseihem lo teilechu. Jews are not supposed to be like the non-Jews. So he says, why do you want to do it? Why do you want to have this female celebration? Because all the non-Jews have it. So we should have the same thing. And by the way, is it possible that he wasn't so far off in the 1920s that he wanted to have such a...
Sounds right to me.
Right, he was correct. And then he goes on and says, the Rambam says it, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? And that is the general gist of his tshuva, of his responsa. No, in 1920, he said, no way. This is not orthodox. It is not religious. It is not acceptable. And it is not appropriate. Skip another 30 years. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. The people don't know Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said the following. This is what he said. Igros Moshe. You read the rest of it on your own against the whole thing. Okay? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, somebody asked him about Baruch Aaron Pupko. Shlita asked him the following question. Okay? The Davar Inyan, I'm seeing the bottom of page 3. Hachafetim lahanhig eza seder v'simcha v'banot kishinasi b'nos mitzvah. In the 1950s still, someone who wants to make a celebration of girls when they're bat mitzvah, he ne'ein lasos came to Beis HaKnesses. Shum Ofen, Afalo Balala, you should absolutely not do it in Shul, even at night. Why? Ki Bebeis HaKnes says, Eino Makom Lasos Divrei HaRashus, Af Benivnu Al HaKnai. Okay? He says, because this is what's called a Rashus, an optional thing, and even if you built the Shul to have social functions, you should have a bat mitzvah there. V'ha Ceremonia Shel Bat Mitzvah, right? The bat mitzvah ceremony, huvad irakti ve'rishus, vehebel ba'alma, right? Mitzvah, there's rishus. Rishus means not a mitzvah, but not terrible. He says, I don't want to say it's usher, but it's rishus, it's voluntary, vehebel ba'alma. How would you translate vehebel ba'alma?
Nonsense.
That's what he says. V'ein shum makom lahatir lasos zeh b'beis haknesses. And you want to do it in your house, I can't tell you not to. But there's no way you could do this in shul. Okay? The kol shekein bazeh, and certainly in this case, shamakor ba meha reformer v'conservativer. See where he says that? Right? By the way, Rav Moshe, you know, I'll say it on tape. I don't know. Only now do we see just how right Rav Moshe was about reform and conservative Jewry. Only Rav Moshe, in his vision, he understood the ramifications of the slippery slope that Reform and Conservative were leading themselves down. And he says, if it's got anything to do with it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And he would draw a line in the sand, and if that's conservative, even if he, you know, Bar Mitzvah, I'm sure Rav Moshe understood and appreciated that it had positive ramifications, but he understood the danger, you know, and it took 50 years for us to realize just how right he was. But you only need to see the events this week to understand that he knew. He understood. He understood the ramifications of what it meant to say, I can make small changes. You can make small changes. So if a small change, even a bat mitzvah, I don't have anything to do with it. Now we're going to see later on, the bat mitzvah took on other, there were other reasons to initiate bat mitzvah. But if the reason you're doing it is to be like the conservatives, to try to compete with them, stay away. Stay far, far away. And Rav Moshe was unbending in that area. And it's very interesting to note because Rav Moshe was, I mean, some of the most lenient tshuvas you'll ever see came from Rav Moshe. But here you would think it's something like, it's harmless. What could it possibly be bad about celebrating a girl coming of age for mitzvah? And you see exactly what his issue was. Reform and conservative, it doesn't belong in orthodoxy, even if you would think that it would. Barak imosa av lasos eza simcha bebeito. What if my father wants to make a party in his house? Rishai. Okay, it's permitted. Aval ein zeshum inyan usmach. There is no idea or reliance. L'hachshiv zeh devar mitzvah usseudas mitzvah. It's not a commandment. It's not a mitzvah meal. Ki hurak kesimcha shayom huleret be'alma. It's a birthday party. That's all it is. And when you see Rav Moshe's unwillingness, meaning, but Rav Moshe, what if I wanted to have a birthday party in Shul? What if I wanted to have, I don't know, a bingo night in Shul? Rav Moshe probably wasn't in favor of bingo nights. But, you know, what if I built the Shul, understanding that I was going to rent it out for, who knows, public speaking lectures, political events? Well, fine. So what if I want to celebrate a girl's coming of age in Shul? No. It wasn't in Shul. Interesting. No. But you should just know in England today, the church, the synagogue, right? The Orthodox synagogue is a synagogue, is the Orthodox.
Of course.
Right. Don't say of course. It's not like that in America. And there it really is. The chief rabbi is an Orthodox rabbi.
Right.
I mean, only now there's more competition, but, you know, it's very much easier in England where they did not have to deal with a lot of the issues that America had to deal with. In England, you know, many of the shuls, people are not personally observant, but it's a much more Sephardic model.
Right.
Where, I mean, I would love to get to that model where, you know, how you get there is a big question, but where we have this shul, and it's an Orthodox shul, and it's uncompromising, but even people from the outside of our shul who are not as observant as we are feel comfortable coming to our shul and understand that they have a place there. That exists in England. It exists in all the Sephardic shuls are like that. Our question has to be, how do we get there? How do we welcome people in and make them feel like they belong, even if they're not the level that we are or the level that we would like them to be at? It's a very difficult question that we have to struggle with, especially as... What?
I'm very comfortable.
You're pretty much there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're all struggling, but you're not what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. The E Ayasher Cheli, this is what he says. He says, if I were strong enough, Haitam Vatel B'medinasenu Gam Seder HaBar Mitzvah Shel Abanim. He says, if I had the ability, I'd get rid of Bar Mitzvah too.
There's parties.
Seder HaBar Mitzvah Shel Abanim. The whole thing. Well, what was the bar mitzvah? Yeah, the rabbi comes up, and the parents come up. I mean, if this isn't just a, you know, you go to, there's a whole bar mitzvah thing, you know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been to very many, non-Orthodox bar mitzvahs, but there's the candles, and you come up, and this one lights the candle, and that one lights the candle, and the parents come up, and they give the blessing, and the whole, you know, and I don't have any personal experience in these things, but there's a whole Seder. I mean, back then, Rav Moshe was right, that in response to the other movements, which Orthodoxy was competing with, the very same people going to Orthodox shuls were going to conservative shuls. There was almost no difference between the two other than
seating.
Almost no difference. Look how far things have come in 50 years. But almost no difference. So in order to compete, you know, the mother says, I want to have a bar mitzvah for my son. If Orthodoxy said no, then all those kids are going to be bar mitzvahed in the conservative synagogue. You lost them. You lost them to Hebrew school. You lost them to everything. So they created bar mitzvah programs, celebrations. And Rav Moshe says, if I had my druthers, if people listened to me, I would get rid of the whole thing. It's very interesting. Right? He could have said that today's bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvahs don't bring anyone closer to God. V'af lo es ha-bar mitzvah, not even the bar mitzvah boy. V'af lo l'sha'a achas, not even for a single moment. Would that be an accurate assessment of most bar mitzvahs today? That the bar mitzvah doesn't bring the boy any closer to Judaism, not even for a single moment? Would that be accurate? I don't know, not today, not on ours. I hope not ours. Correct, not if you do it the right way. Right, but again, we don't have a bar mitzvah program. What is the bar mitzvah in its ideal form? The kid lanes, does Haftorah, or he davens, has an aliyah, and gives it to our Torah. That is a bar mitzvah. And has a kiddush, and has a meal for family. Right? Not 600 of his closest parents' closest friends. That's not even a wedding. That's a state dinner. Okay? The adirabba, the opposite is true. The harbi makomos, maybe zelechilu Shabbos ve'od isurin. Are you wrong about that? That the bar mitzvah celebration brings about violations in Shabbos and other problems that you have to deal with. Al kopanim, nonetheless, mashikar hunhag b'peh lepo, v'gam ba zemi mekor mitzvah kasha levazal. He says, I can't get rid of it. But, aval achadesh zeh bibanos, shehu b'lo mekor mitzvah kalal, to initiate something like this, which is no source at all. Af b'bayis, even at home, v'ad ahi ayotel liv noah af shalaka. He said, I'd rather not even do it at home. Of Allah says, came to base HaKnesses to do it in shul. Ach balayla, even at night, even when they're not davening? Aser. Very harsh. Very strong. And by the way, in some communities today, in the Beis Yaakov community, there are no bar mitzvah celebrations. What do they do for bar mitzvah? The girls have a party, and maybe she'll give a dvar Torah at home.
To the girls.
Nothing in shul. Absolutely not. Following Rav Moshe's pesach. So what happened? How come we have bar mitzvahs in Yom Yisrael of Oak Park? If Rav Moshe Feinstein said no. Rav Moshe Feinstein even wanted to get rid of bar mitzvahs. Why is it that we have bar mitzvahs here? How can we celebrate bar mitzvahs? Along came a man named the 3-Day Ish. Page 4. 3-Day Ish, his name was Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. 3-Day Ish, he grew up in Europe, was a Gaon Gadol, tremendous Talmud Chacham, who suffered terrible, terrible losses. His whole family was killed in the Shoah. Whole family's wiped out. And after the Holocaust, he was very well known, and people used to go. I was even reading Rabbi Teitz in the book about Rabbi Teitz. So when he stopped off on his way to Israel, he would stop off in Switzerland to visit the Sudei Yesh. You know, and Rafi Yesh was very progressive, extremely progressive.
related or father, grandfather of the Rabbi Weinberg of Beit HaTorah?
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me.
That's why I was wondering if that's what's...
So Rabbi, the Sfida Eish, he actually goes through a whole treatise on what is the commandment of Ubechuko Sehem Lo Selechu, do not follow the ways of the non-Jews. Like, what does it mean? What are the ramifications of not being like the non-Jews? And there are really 7-8 pages, and we could go through it, but we'll leave it for now. And then he goes on to his issue. But Achshav Nira Benidon Didan. So let's go to our case. In Mutar Lachog Chagigat Bar Mitzvah. Can you celebrate Bar Mitzvah? I'm on the bottom of page 4. Now, on the other side, I brought another two of Rav Moshe. I don't have time. Yeshivotim Lesor Mishum Ubechuko Sehem. Some people want to do it because of Ubechuko Sehem, following in the non-Jews' ways. Ulaniyah Daiti, he says, I think Tali Bezeh. It depends on the following. She'im Neomar Shehat Confirmation Shel Ha'akum Lid Hashem Avodah Zarah. If the non-Jews do the confirmation for to celebrate idolatry, then Yesh Lesor Mishum Ubechuko Sehem B'chagad. Then we shouldn't do it. But Elo Lefizeh, if that's true, Hayalanu Lesor Gam Chigas Bar Mitzvah. Because why? They don't just confirm girls. Sharei Aslam Osim Confirmation Gam Lizcharim. They make a confirmation for boys. Vayalanu Lesor Gam Eshat Tfila. Well, we should also ask her davening. Why? Sharei Hamish Barlim Avodah Zarah. They also daven to their God. Elo Shabazel Lo Sayach. We can't do that. Sheyesh Bo Mishum Avodah Zarah. They also celebrate when their children come of age. Reformed Jews don't have celebrations to be like the non-Jews. Why does a Reformed Jew have a bar mitzvah? Not to be like their Goyish friends. They want to celebrate their kid got 13, their kid is of age. That's why they want to have a party. They don't think about, you know, to be like the non-Jews. Shehiyu b'nei the bagrut. Okay? Ve'eila asher me'acheinu shehiyu zeh mechadash chigah bar mitzvah omrin. And those who celebrate bar mitzvah say, shehem osim kein kedei l'chazek b'leib habat. They want to strengthen in the heart of this girl, shehiyu l'mitzvah, that she has arrived at the age of mitzvot, regesh ahava l'yahadut u'l'mitzvotah. They want her to have a feeling of love for Judaism and the commandments. U'l'o'er ba, and to awaken her regesh higaon al Yehudata. They want to awaken her a feeling about her own Judaism. About how Yuta bat la'am gadol v'kadosh. And they want her to have a sense of she belongs to a great and holy nation. That's pretty good, right? Yeah. V'lo ichbal lana mashar goyim cholim chagigata confirmation. Who cares what the non-Jews do? Heim b'yadeinu v'anam b'yidam. They do their thing. We do our thing. Heim mitfalim b'korim b'knes yochalahem. They bow down in their churches. And we bow down to God. He says, some people say, you know, he says, after we know it, but he says it's so deep and so powerful, very important. Some say, if you want, against the permissibility of having the bas mitzvah, it's against, you see where I am? I'm in the third paragraph, the fourth paragraph. It's second line. It's against our customs. We never had this custom. It says, you're right. They never had the bat mitzvah, but that's not a complaint. Because in the generations before us, they never had to educate their girls in Judaism. Why? Because everybody was filled with Judaism. The Gam Ha'avir b'chol ir v'ir mi Yisrael, every city, was Jewish city, was malei u'memula b'reach u'beruach hayadus. It was filled with the spirit of Judaism. V'habanot shegalu b'bayit Yisrael, and a girl that was born into a Jewish home, shafu et ruach hayadus b'tkirban b'efes maisa. They soaked up the Judaism in the home, and in the city, and where they lived. V'kimat shiyanku et hayadut mishtei motehen. They nursed Judaism from their mothers. Last paragraph in the first column of Al Akshav, Nishtanu Haganot Adorot Shini Utsum. He says, sorry, like it or not, times have changed. Hashpa'at HaRachov, the influence of the street, Okeret Nilev Kol Nar V'Narba Kol Zik Shel Yahadu. It is uprooted from every child a desire to be Jewish. V'habanot mitchanchot bebatei sefer necharim, or bebatei sefer chilonim. And the girls are educated either in public school or in secular Jewish schools. She'einam shoktim lahashush b'leiv tamidihem ahava l'torot Yisrael. They do not influence or inculcate any love for Judaism and for Torah. U'l'minhagei ha'kodesh shel yahadut ha'shleima. And the holy customs of Judaism. Achshav mutal aleinu, it is placed upon us, l'rakeis kol chochotenu b'chinucham shel habanot. So we must emphasize with every our ability girls' Jewish education. And he is so right, even today. I mean, you could argue things are a little different today. But in the time that he was writing, in the 50s, you know, I mean, how could you say no? Rav Moshe, you know, he was dealing a different battle. How could you say no? The girl's going to go, and she's going to public school, and she's learning God only knows what. And now somebody comes along and says, we never had bat mitzvah. Shkoyach, if you don't feel you need a bat mitzvah for your daughter, that's great. But look at the girls out there. Look at what's going on in the street. Look at what's happening to the Jewish family. And here we have an opportunity to give a girl a sense of love for Judaism, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of belonging to the Jewish people that she will never have. Unless you celebrate it, you got to do it. And Rabbi Weinberg's words were true then, and they're just as true today. Because we compete, even the kids that go to day school, we compete with the internet, we compete with MTV, and we compete with every value out there. And every opportunity that we have to give a young Jewish woman a sense of belonging to the Jewish people, a sense of specialness about mitzvot and commandments, and a sense of the ability to be a part of the Jewish people, that's an opportunity we should grab onto with both hands. But it's very important at the same time to celebrate it, but to do it in a halachic manner. And just like the boys should give a Dvar Torah, the girls should also give a Dvar Torah. And just like the boy is expected to do a parsha and to learn for it, I think it's very important that the girl should also study for her bat mitzvah. Because those are the things that make it mitzvah. A bat mitzvah, the sister party, is just as valuable as a bar mitzvah, the sister party. So it should be done, but it should be done with the right flavor and the right attitude. Yeah, Lisa, before you. Rabbi Weinberg wrote his tshuva. Hold on, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg wrote his tshuva. Give me a second, I'll find my notes. 1960. He died in 1966. When did he write the tshuva? He died in 1966. He wrote. I said 50 something,
yes.
But it's around then. It was clearly he wrote it after the Holocaust. In Europe, that's when they were doing it. I mean, you see, there was already a reason to do it beforehand. But after Rabbi Weinberg wrote that, you know, Rabbi Moshe, we understand, and Rabbi Moshe's logic makes sense. But dealing with the things that we deal with in society today is just, you know, it seems to me obvious that this is something we have to do, but we have to do it properly.